Well, today we had a scripture reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses, and I'm going to call the incident by the two words that I put a title on the sermon, Gone Fishing. Gone Fishing. Now, there's a picture of a fisherman on the screen, although I would have to add it was a different kind of fishing, obviously, that they used in those days. Gone Fishing. And I want to say right at the outset that fishing is something I know very little or nothing about. My one and only effort at fishing took place on the Ballinderry River near Cook in County Tyrone years and years ago, and it was a disastrous event, to say the least of it, because I threw the line and it got caught in a tree. And I threw it a second time, and for some reason unbeknown to me, I caught the hook in a nice new iron jumper that had been knit for me. And the iron jumper had a hole in it because I had to cut the hook out. It was a bad thing. It's not for me. Fishing, I don't know if any men here do fishing. I'm told it's a very relaxing hobby. The Braid River now flows not far from where we live in Ballymena, and I do know, indeed, some Presbyterian ministers who live beside us have been seen fishing on that river. And certainly where we lived in North Antrim, we had the River Bush that flowed round. It flowed round the side of our Moy Church and on down round there. And, of course, fishermen were quite popular there. I don't think I'll take up fishing. But clearly, one day, Jesus was standing at the side of a lake after preaching, and he stepped into a boat, and the boat was the property of a very experienced and competent fisherman. It was owned by a man named Simon, who, like a number of the others of the same profession, eventually became some of Christ's disciples. The passage, as we read, and you can check it out in Luke chapter 5, the passage begins, it's an unusual story. It begins with the fish that did not get away. And it ends with the fishermen that were actually caught themselves, as we shall see. They became, to use the words, fishers of men. Fishers of men. So Jesus stepped into Simon Peter's boat, and they moved the boat a little distance from the crowd out into the water, and he used the boat as a pulpit. Incidentally, I think I have a slide coming, if it's put it up, please. If ever you were in Sinclair Seaman's Church in Belfast, out in the docks area, you will know that, and you can look at it there, you can maybe see it in the slide, you'll know that in front of the organ, the pulpit in Sinclair Seaman's Presbyterian Church is actually the shape of a part of a prayer of a boat. I don't know if it actually was a boat or whether it was just made that shape or not, because that is a whole mission to seamen. It's an interesting maritime museum. But there's a worshipping congregation there. But the pulpit was the prayer of a ship. Well, Jesus used Simon Peter's boat as a pulpit from which he taught the crowd. And then, as well as preaching, Jesus said to Simon, let's go out and let's go fishing and let down their nets. Now, that reaction, that request met a reaction. And it met a reaction because the disciples or the people, the fishermen, they had worked tirelessly all night and that yielded no fish. They had done all that they could do. And like so many others, sometimes in fishing, it was all in vain. Now, they were not novices like me at fishing. These men were experienced fishermen. They knew what to do. They knew where to go. And all they had to show for a night of fishing on the lake were tired bodies and empty nets. Many years ago, we had a caravan in Newcastle, and there were a caravan beside us, and there were a family there, and one day they went fishing and went to the Shimna River, I suppose it was. And in the evening time, it amused me somewhat because we saw the man and his son and grandson come back, and you know, their faces said it all. No fish today. No fish today. I was tempted to tell them to go to the chip shop in the town, but I didn't dare do that. No fish today. They were disappointed. And I suspect that the fishermen here, on the account, they were disappointed. They had worked all night. And all they had for it, tired bodies, an empty net, and Jesus telling them to go out and put down their nets again. So the first point in the passage to notice is this. Exhausted resources. Exhausted resources. Obviously, they were not terribly keen at the suggestion to go back into the water because the fish weren't biting. And it was hard work. It was heavy nets. And they sort of, I'm sure, questioned very much in their mind because they were just exhausted with what had been not a very profitable night. And this was their livelihood, not a very profitable night for them. Exhausted resources. Stop for a minute there. It could well be that you today, after the COVID restrictions of the last year or couple of years or so ago, after the limitations and the shutdown, and after all the inconvenience that you have not been able to, people weren't able to see their families and so on and so forth, after all of that, and maybe even you may say in this long vacancy that has been in this church, maybe you feel like the disciples. All you have is exhausted resources. Exhausted resources. Sometimes people, and I've talked to people from time to time, and they feel tired and it's hard to get up and going again. And they feel maybe they've had enough. And maybe even in church life, you know, you go on and on and on and it just seems to be difficult. Maybe you're struggling. You mightn't say it out loud. Maybe some people are exhausted resources because you're struggling with faith, or maybe have no faith at all, no meaningful faith to help you with the challenges. And there certainly are challenges of living in this day and age. Maybe you feel God has forgotten you. Well, of course, God has not forgotten us. But sometimes we can all feel a bit down. We can feel further away from God. While God hasn't moved, we may feel we're struggling. Exhausted resources. Like Peter at the end of an unprofitable night of fishing. All you have is exhausted resources, done and tired. I don't think it's wrong to feel weary and tired and spiritually drained at times. I think that's what Simon Peter and his friends felt that day. But there's more. There's more. Because despite their exhausted resources, Jesus gave them an unusual task. He told them to put their nets down again into the deep water, and verse 4 was not the normal thing to do. Because this was an unusual task, because these experienced fishermen, they knew where to drop the nets to catch the particular species of fish that they were fishing for. And I'm told from the commentators that these particular species of fish were caught near the shore, not away out in the deep, as Jesus asked them to go. And another thing, they were caught in the dark, at night, not in daylight. But nonetheless, despite what they may have thought, they did what Jesus commanded, albeit Peter protested a little bit or voiced a doubt. Verse 5, Master, we worked all night and caught nothing. We worked all night and caught nothing. The idea of being told to go out into the deep water, it just didn't resonate somehow with Peter. But then he did add, but because you say so, I will do it. In other words, I will take you at your word. What he was saying was this: we have done it this way for years. We know what we're doing. Why would we do it differently? What do you know about fishing? An unusual task. People don't like change, do they? None of us do. We don't like change of doing new things. We don't even like change of maybe the idea of change, committing our lives to Jesus. And the longer we're going along, the harder maybe we want to do it. People don't like change, a new way of doing old things, even if it's a better way. Let me give you an illustration, and it's a true illustration, it's not a made-up story either. When I was a very, very small boy, some of you say he's not big yet, but when a very young boy, I'll rephrase that, I remember vaguely an old lady who moved from a very primitive farm, and those of you who are country folk and farmers will understand it, who lived away out in the country, somewhere between Auchnacloy and Ballygall, in a little farm and a little cottage, and she didn't have any modern conveniences in the cottage, electricity, running water, bathroom, anything like that. And she moved into a council house in the town. And then, of course, she had in the council house electricity and running water and hot water and all the things that on her old cottage in the farm she didn't enjoy, didn't have. But at the end of 3 months, the electric man, as we called him, came round to read the meter, as was common in those days. And the man was quite surprised to discover that she had only used maybe a penny or two, hardly anything. And he couldn't understand it. And he was surprised that there was so little usage for the period. So he inquired, he said, "Bella, do you not use the electric?" To which he got the reply, at which the neighbours laughed. She said she only switched it on a couple of minutes near dark to get the matches so she could see to light the lamp. And that's a true story. That's where the people come from, Auchnacloy. But you see, people get used to doing things in a certain way. And we don't embrace change, even if, like the story I told you, it is for the better. And it's a bit like Peter's response to Jesus about the fishing, looking for the matches to light the lamp. She was clutching onto what he did before. And isn't it really like that with our lives? Sometimes people, we don't want to change our life. We don't want to commit our lives to Jesus because we don't want to accept something new. And we're afraid of what it might lead. And so therefore we try to keep Jesus at a distance. Maybe we are clutching our nets, as it were. You can interpret that how you wish. Clutching our nets, trying to hold on to the past. Maybe we're crippled by exhausted resources, and we're not open to God to teach us new things, or even different ways. Maybe we're stubbornly refusing to commit our lives to the Saviour and accept his offer of forgiveness and a new start, letting go of sinful ways and the old habits and our old self-righteousness as we turn our backs stubbornly and sadly on the gospel and the great hope of turning to faith in Christ and serving him and his will. Or maybe you're one of those people, maybe Christian people, who've been battling along in the church, and you're going on about doing things the way that you've always done it for years and years. It once was effective, but now it no longer reaches people the way it once did. Life has moved on and you haven't moved with it. You're still looking for the matches in order to light the lamp rather than go to the switch and accept the new privileges. God gives us, as he gave to Peter and the disciples that day, God gives us new tasks. He doesn't want us to be struggling with exhausted resources because we insist to do things the way we have always done them. And I believe that if the disciples, and especially Simon Peter, if they had stubbornly refused to let their nets down again, despite what they might have thought, they would have missed one of the greatest moments of their entire lives. We all need to be open to God, who is not tied to yesterday's method or yesterday's language, who may want to do a new thing in our lives, in our community, where God has called us to be. All open to the possibilities that he has for us to minister these days. You know, when COVID was hitting really hard and churches were closed. Many of us, including myself, had to do things differently. We were involved in doing things online or even having meetings by Zoom or by Teams and so on and so forth. And we didn't like it that much. But sometimes it would maybe just like putting down the nets on the other side and accepting a new challenge for Jesus. Well, now we read the story, and we discovered that in obedience to the command of Jesus, a tremendous catch of fish, an enormous catch of fish, was landed into the net that they needed help to draw. They needed two boats. And of course, we see in the next point really is the reaction it had on Simon Peter. The astonished fisherman who fell on his knees in submission, crying out in verse 8, "Depart from me, O Lord, because I am a sinful man." Peter realized that day, more maybe than ever he realized in his entire life before, he realized that from the boat, that Jesus could turn failure into success. He could turn Peter's life upside down. He was the Messiah. He was the Holy One. He was the Son of God. Peter realized, and it had a tremendous reaction on him. You know, many, many generations before the time of Peter, Isaiah. We know the story very well, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah went to the temple to worship. I suspect he maybe wasn't expecting anything unusual to happen. And he became aware in a new way of the presence of the Holy God. And at the same time, when he became aware of the presence of the Holy God, he became aware of his own sin and the state of his own soul. He cried out, "Woe is me. I'm ruined. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Oh, that we had that awareness like what Peter had that day, when he realized the very moment, "Depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinful man." That was a life-changing moment for Peter. Last week I preached in North Antrim and I referred to Zacchaeus. I may have preached it here, I can't remember. But Zacchaeus had a life-changing moment when he climbed up the tree. You remember that story? And today we have Peter having a life-changing moment, surrounded by two boatfuls of fish in a lake Gennesaret. I wonder, have you ever had a life-changing moment like that? Well, the passage continues with a mention of the others as well, because the companions included James and John. They were fishermen as well, of course. And now they had a new task. And what was the new task? They were going to be fishers of men. I think that's a wonderful phrase. "I will make you fishers of men." You used to have a little chorus about that, didn't you? Fishers of men. A lovely phrase, and it's really the job description, not just of the first century disciples, but it's the job description of every Christian, of every age, in every community. Paul, in his writings, talks about we're fellow workers. We're co-heirs with Christ. We're fellow workers in the kingdom of his grace. We must never, ever shy away from God or shy away from a God-given task to be his ambassadors or his evangelists or to be his witnesses in school or wherever we are, because it's difficult. You're a fisher of men. Wherever God has placed you, here in this community, around in South Derry, whatever it is, if we're slack in our duty, if we fail the task, just think how many fish would have been lost in that sense of the spiritual harvest. And you know, the last verse that we read, verse 11, says this. It says that they pulled their nets up onto the shore. What happened to the disciples? What happened to Peter and the rest of them? They left all and they followed Jesus. They left all and followed Jesus. Very grateful to Moira. In a few moments' time, we're going to sing that lovely hymn, "All to Jesus I Surrender." They left everything and they followed Jesus. We cannot be accountable for the fish if they don't come into the net, as it were. But there's one thing we must do, and we must do it faithfully. We must all throw out the lifeline to our community, throw out the net, as it were. And that's what I want you to think about today. Think about that passage. Gone fishing. Exhausted resources, an unusual task, a striking reaction on Peter, a clear submission. I am a sinful man. And then a new direction. You're going to become fishers of men. And the last submission, they left all and followed him. May God grant us the grace to see more clearly, as Peter saw that day, who Jesus is and what he desires that he would do with us, because we are fishers of men in the 21st century to do his will today. Let us pray.